Good evening. This is Life Rattle, your story show, and I'm your host, Virginia Ashbery. Tonight, Life Rattle number 1263 features three stories from the Life Rattle archive, written by Fuad Ahmed. Fuad Ahmed was born the younger of two boys in 1982 in Karachi, Pakistan. His father is a businessman and his mother is an artist. Fuad's family moved to Hong Kong shortly after his birth. They lived in Hong Kong for 6 years, then 3 years in Taiwan, and 3 years in Thailand, and then 3 years in Atlanta, Georgia. Finally, the family moved to Toronto when Fuad was in grade 9. Fuad went on to attend U of T studying biology, psychology, and professional writing. After working in the science industry for a few years, he decided to pursue an acting career under the stage name Gabriel Gray. And by all accounts, he's doing very well in his new career. Fuad Ahmed will drop us into three stages of his early life tonight. Each story progresses us through innocence and on into adulthood, with all the chipping away of the simplicity we start with, right on to the inevitable sadness of aging and decline. Fuad's prose is honest in its voice, and with just a few subtle devices, we're brought completely into the moment he seeks to explore. Now, you're listening to Life Rattle Radio from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. So please be advised that some Life Rattle stories contain explicit scenes and language that may be offensive to some people, so listener discretion is advised. Let's listen now as Fuad Ahmed reads his first story, Do You Like Me?
Do You Like Me? By Fuad Ahmed. Becca Biberstein sat behind me in my grade 4 class. She had shoulder-length blonde hair. She smelled like soap. Her eyes, big and brown, twinkled. I liked Becca. Nadia Siddiqui sat next to Becca. Nadia Siddiqui and I knew each other from grade 3. I asked Nadia to find out if Becca liked me. Nadia told me she would try. I swung on the monkey bars during recess. I saw Nadia walk down the concrete pathway to the playground. She waved me over. I let go of the yellow metal, fell to the dirt ground, and scraped my dirty knee. Guess what? Nadia said. Her big, thick glasses made her eyes look huge. What? I rubbed my knee. Red drops of blood trickled through my skin. Becca likes you, she jumped up and down. Really? Yes. Okay. Well, thanks. I turned and walked towards the playground. Wait! Nadia wrinkled her forehead and squinted. So what are you going to do now? What do you mean? Well, she likes you, and you like her. So? I looked at Nadia. I didn't know what she wanted me to do. Can I still go play? No! Nadia yanked my arm and dragged me to the library. Aw, don't take me to the library. Only nerds and girls go to the library during recess. My knee ached. I rubbed it and smeared blood all over my hand. Ew, Fuad, that's gross. How can you tell Becca you love her looking like that? I love her? Yes, what's wrong with you? Nadia groaned. We stopped in front of the nurse's office. Go in there and get some band-aids. Okay, okay, sheesh. The nurse cleaned my cuts and put a thick band-aid on. It stuck to my skin and pulled at my leg hairs. I walked out of the nurse's office. Nadia stood outside with a daisy she picked from a bush. You're gonna give this to her when you go in the library. She handed me the white daisy. A red ladybug crawled in the yellow center. I blew on it and it flew away. Nadia, I don't want to. Why not? I thought you liked her. She's right there. Don't you see her? We peeked through the window of the library. Becca read a book about squirrels and sat in a red beanbag. So you don't like her. Is that what you're telling me? I don't know anymore. I'm scared. I want to go and play. I rubbed my knee. It still hurt. Fine. Nadia huffed and stomped into the library. I shoved the daisy in my pocket and dashed back to the monkey bars. When I came in from recess, Rebecca blushed in her chair. My tummy twisted. Hi, Becca. Look, I got this really cool cut on my knee. You want to see? I asked. Ew, no, you're so gross, Fuad. Becca squealed. Nadia stared at me and shook her head. Miss Mullen, our teacher, taught us about the importance of taking good notes. She told us that if we did not learn to take good notes, then we would fail grade 6. Today's lesson covered the correct use of highlighters and color coding your notes. I felt a tap on my shoulder. I turned around. Becca smiled and waved at me. She held a pink construction paper note. This is for you, she whispered. Ms. Mullen's eyes darted around the room. No talking during class, she said. I grabbed the note and carefully opened it inside my desk. In little red letters it said, Do you like me? Yes or no? Check one box. Love, Beck. What's in your hand, Fuad? Asked Miss Mullen. Oh, nothing. Are you passing notes? She raised one eyebrow, walked over to my desk, and took away the note. She read the note and smiled. She looked at Becca. Becca covered her face. You know, I should read this to the rest of the class. She paused. But I won't. Watch your behavior from now on. They won't tolerate it in grade 6. She continued to teach us about the importance of color coding our notes. I asked to go to the bathroom. I threw the daisy in the toilet and went back to class.
That was Do You Like Me? Written and read by Fuad Ahmed. Let's listen to our next story on tonight's show. This is Which Side Are You On? By Fuad Ahmed.
Which Side Are You On? By Fuad Ahmed. I scramble out of my desk as the bell blares across the International School of Bangkok campus. It's the start of the weekend. I wave goodbye to Mr. Sengel, my grade 3 teacher with shaggy brown hair and an overgrown beard. I grab my friends and play one last round of tag in the playground before the big red buses come to take us home. Amma arrives from London today. Mom told me she's going to stay with us for a month. I'm so excited. I wonder what she got me. Toys, candy, chocolate, money. I jump off the big red bus as it pulls up to my house. I wave bye to my friends and rush inside. I'm home! I slam the door behind me. Babu Agia! I hear Amma's voice from the kitchen. I run to the kitchen and see Amma cooking rice with Mom. Amma! I shout and wrap my arms around her, my hands getting lost in the folds of her white sari. She takes me to her room and sits me on her bed. Ik cheese he? I watch her wrinkled hand rummage through her massive black handbag. Kya! I bounce on the bed. Ak bund! I shut my eyes. I feel something light scrape my palm. I open my eyes and see a crisp 50-pound note in my hand. Oh, Amma, thank you! Bohut, bohut shukriya! I jump from the bed and hug her. She kisses me on the forehead. I run and show my present to Mom. In the evening, Dad comes home from work. He greets Amma and plops down on the couch and turns on the TV. Amma sits across from Dad and watches the images flash across the TV. The lights dance across the lenses of both their glasses. Mom joins them. Operation Desert Storm, war in Iraq, runs across the bottom of the screen. Green missiles fly through the nighttime sky. Buildings explode. The image transfers to bloody bodies lying on dirt roads, crying babies with cuts on their faces, and injured soldiers and civilians being rushed through the crowds. Mom, Dad, and Amma stare at the TV screen. I pick up my black plastic toy gun. Wolf Blitzer, a reporter for CNN, stands in front of a U.S. Army base. Sand swirls around him. I pretend to shoot him. Kapow! Kapow! My grandma's visiting from England, I brag to my friend Bobby during recess. She gave me 50 pounds. That's a lot of money, you know. Oh, yeah? Well, my aunt is visiting from Texas. He bounces a basketball to me. Oh, cool. America. Did you get totally rad presents? Did you get any new Ninja Turtle toys? I aim the basketball for the net. I bend my knees. I shoot. I miss. I watch the ball bounce to the corner. Yeah, dude, I got some new Donatello and Leonardo action figures. He snorts and shoves his glasses up his nose. America has the best stuff. You're just saying that because you're half American, I stick my tongue out to Bobby. Are you forgetting your other half? I bet if I said Thailand sucks, you wouldn't like that. Thailand doesn't have any cool toys. Go ahead and say it. I don't care about being Thai. America is the best. I remember the green bombs on the news. Bobby, America's pretty cool, but I don't think it's the best. Whatever, man, America rocks. No way, dude. Didn't you watch the lose last night? Yeah, man, that was rad. Bobby grins. We bombed those Iraqis. It's Iraq. Not I. Whatever, dude. Whose side are you on anyways? I'm Muslim. I lower my voice and look around. I'm on Iraq's side. Just because you're a Muslim doesn't mean you have to pick them. Why would you pick them? He picks up the basketball and throws it at me. I catch it as it slams against my chest. You know they're gonna lose. America's the best, and it's gonna be Iraq. Mr. Sengel hands out a letter to class. It's addressed to my parents. He tells us not to open it, and we should only open letters addressed to us. The bell rings, and I run to the bus. I open the letter on the way. I unfold the letter and read. Dear parents or guardians, due to the recent political and military situation in Iraq, the International School of Bangkok will be shut effective today and until further notice. The school may be a target due to its large diversity. Classes missed due to this cancellation will be made up for when school starts again by extending the school week until Saturday. Again, please do not send your child to school until further notice. We thank you for your time and patience. Mr. Randall, Principal, ISB Elementary School. I laugh and jump onto my bus. Everyone waves around the letter. We're off school. Vacation. Yippee! I go home and show the letter to my parents. They frown. I smile and play with my Ninja Turtles and micro machines. Amma asks me why I don't study. I tell her I don't have school because of Iraq. She shakes her head. At night we watch the news. More green missiles explode like fireworks in the nighttime sky. I watch footage of an American fighter jet pilot blowing up a bridge while a truck is crossing. I hear the words, rape of civilian Iraqi women and young girls. CNN doesn't show the same things that the Bangkok Post shows. CNN shows injured U.S. soldiers. The reporters talk about nerve gas and germ warfare. The Bangkok Post shows pictures of dead Iraqi civilians lying in the streets. Babies, children, mothers. They look like dolls. The Bangkok Post has an article about a young boy whose entire family died when a bomb landed on their bomb shelter. He was the only one to survive. There are pictures of babies, armless babies. The war goes on. Amma returns to England. The war goes on. I see Bobby at the grocery store. He tells me how he was right. He was right. America was going to win. I picked the losing team. That night, CNN shows Iraqi soldiers bending down and begging mercy from the American soldiers. CNN shows Americans rejoicing. The war ends and school restarts. We have school on Saturdays for 3 months to make up for the missed month of school. I don't tell anyone I was on Iraq's side.
That was Which Side Are You On?, written and read by Fuad Ahmed. Our last story tonight is Amma. Let's hear that one now.
This is Amma by Fuad Ahmed. 1997. Babu, get up. It's Sunday. Let's go to Sunday market. Amma wears her plain white sari. She parts her thin gray hair down the middle and ties fake black hair into the ends. Amma believes women should have long hair. She braids the fake black hair tightly and twists it into a bun at the back of her head. During my grandmother's visit to Toronto, she spends her time at Square One and buys china and vases from Bowring, the Bay, and Eaton's. Amma loves Sundays because garage sales litter my neighborhood. Amma speaks Urdu, but she can say a few English words. She calls garage sales Sunday market. I'm getting up, Amma. I roll out of bed and onto the floor. Amma stands over me. She purses her lips and taps her foot. Her eyes dart around my room. What a dirty room! You live like an animal! Her brown eyes stare at me through her wrinkled eyelids. For several hours, we walk, pace, and stroll through my neighborhood. The sun burns my black hair. My feet ache. Sweat drips down my neck. Amma's white sari glows in the sunlight. Let's go back to the other Sunday market, the one with the nice glasses and dishes, she says, and covers her head with the achal of her sari. Amma, who are you going to give used glasses to? I can give them to the maids in Pakistan. I'm tired, Amma. Let's go home. I frown and waggle my arms. Nah! Youth nowadays. After she looks at some pottery, we make our way home. At home, Amma sits on the white couch in the living room. I bring her a cool glass of water and plop down next to her. Water spills out of the glass and onto her hand, sari, and purse. Amma glares at me. I sit up straight. Thank you, Babu. She sips the water through her creased lips and pats me on the head. What's in your hair? It's gel, Amma. It feels like you have plastic in there. She rubs her palms and grimaces. My hands are all sticky now because of you. Go wash it out. I can't, Amma. My hair gets big without it. She stares at my head. I shift my weight from side to side, play with my nails, and bite my lip. I try to change the subject. What will you wear to the neighbor's wedding next week? Take out my black and white sari and my black velvet blouse. 1999. I see Amma in London, England for my cousin Feroza's wedding. The doctors diagnosed her with Alzheimer's disease 6 months before. Babu is here, she smiles and pats my back. I bend over and kiss the wrinkled skin on her cheek. I sit with Amma in her tiny white room. Her silver pandan, colorful books decorated with Urdu calligraphy, and a rusted nutcracker sit on her bedside table. She opens the pandan and takes out a large green leaf. She scrapes a smooth white paste and sprinkles tiny brown tambaku over the heart-shaped leaf. She folds the leaf into a triangle. What are you studying these days? She asks. I'll graduate from high school next year. Then I will go to university. What do you want to be? She puts the pan in her mouth. A doctor. Babu, you will be a doctor. Inshallah. She beams and strokes my hair. What's in your hair? It's gel, Amma. It feels horrible. Go wash it out. She crunches my hair with her frail fingers. Tiny white flakes swirl in the air. It's fashion, Amma. If I don't use it, my hair will get really big. Crazy boy, she laughs and smacks the side of my head. At the wedding, Amma sits silently. She refuses to change out of her plain white sari. 2001. I return to England to attend another cousin's wedding. The doctors diagnosed Amma with Parkinson's disease 6 months ago. My aunt warns me that her memory worsened since my last visit. My Babu has come, she says when she sees me. She rubs my back. I lean down to kiss her cheek. I brush loose strands of gray hair from her face and hold her head to stop the shake. I sit with Amma in her tiny white room. Her silver pandan sits tarnished and dented. The colorful books decorated with Urdu calligraphy have disappeared. Her quivers prevent her from safely using her old rusty nutcracker. She opens the pandan and takes out a wilted green leaf. She scrapes the smooth white paste over it with a tiny metal spoon. Her hand trembles and she pierces the leaf. She sighs. She sprinkles tiny brown tambaku over the part-shaped leaf. Pieces of tambaku fall to the pink carpet. Her hands shake and she folds the leaf into an uneven triangle. What are you studying these days? Her head wobbles. Next year I'll be in my second year of university. What are you studying? Biology. Amma smiles. Remember, Amma, I want to be a doctor. Babu, you will be a doctor. Inshallah. She smiles and strokes my hair. What's in your hair? It's gel, Amma. Oh. She wipes her hand on her sari and looks around her room. What are you studying these days? She asks. Biology, Amma. I say it louder than before. At the wedding, I must sit silently. She refuses to change out of her everyday sari. There is a yellow curry stain on the achel. The night before I leave for Toronto, Amma asks my aunt, "When is the wedding?" My aunt explains to her that the wedding passed a few weeks ago. Amma begins to cry. "Why am I even alive?" she sobs. "I can't even remember my own granddaughter's wedding."
That was Amma, written and read by Fuad Ahmed. And that concludes Life Rattle number 1263. I recorded Fuad Ahmed reading his story. My name is Virginia Ashbury. Life Rattle returns next week with more stories. And Life Rattle is produced from Toronto and was created by Guy Allen and Arnie Ackman.